I know how, you know, I look at the faces of a lot of us as we stroll into midweek, and I'm going to be, oh man, you're at midweek. And that's just the spirit that I sense coming on. Surely not. Surely not. Surely we are encouraged to be here and inspired to open God's word and encourage one another's faith. Before I get into what we're going to be doing tonight, I have a very critical announcement to make. I lost a package 4 weeks ago that is of some importance to me. I left it on my iPad sitting in the front of the hall here. And so if you maybe picked it up by mistake, please come and give it to me. It does carry some sentimental value, and I would be much appreciated. Thank you. All righty, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much just that we can gather as friends and family tonight to look in your word, to take a step out of the humdrum of our day-to-day lives and just to see how big you are, how great and magnificent and powerful you are, and just how unconditionally you love us, just how patient and kind you are with us. And I pray tonight that you would continue to inspire faith in our hearts to be able to see you more clearly. I pray, God, that as we walk out of here tonight, that every one of us will take one step closer to you. I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the last couple of weeks have been exciting, but at the same time, incredibly busy. We've obviously had a roller coaster of guest speakers that have come through Cape Town. And I'm sure you, if you've benefited from it or if you haven't been around, get the audio. It's been an amazing time spent. I mean, we've had Cornelius Kulu preach at midweek. Our last midweek was full arsenal. We had Cesar and Jen Lopez in town, and then Vanna on Sunday. And it's just, it's been an incredible time. And I really hope that you feel like you're riding the wave of faith that God is surely bringing about within the Cape Town Church. So as inspiring as it's been, spiritually and emotionally for us, in terms of my wife and I and the Smith family, man, we're tired. Just physically, man, really just a little exhausted. Jax was doing the maths on it. 19 days out of the month of April, we either had people staying in our house overnight, or we were staying over in other people's houses overnight. This is sounding a bit, is this, okay, just a little bit of feedback on the mic. And man, so it's been an incredibly tiring time spent, but a little bit of a catch-22 situation, ignited spiritually and emotionally, but exhausted physically. So I don't know where to quite place that, but you know, when you hear a lot of messages, often it's difficult to process so much information. And that's kind of how we felt. It's just, man, what do we do with all this information? Obviously, we'd come off the back of a 3-4-day conference, 10 classes straight, and just a lot of information. And what we've tried to afford ourselves and you is the opportunity to process all the stuff that we've been hearing. And that's why we sent out the email last week, and hopefully you guys got a chance in your small groups last week, Wednesday, to just kind of discuss where you're landing. Personal areas of growth for you, and where you're seeing your family group or small group. And so I wonder, how many of us got that opportunity last week? Just give me a show of hands if you had an opportunity to process what we've been learning. Okay, a few of us. Well, tonight you're going to get more of an opportunity, and so you'll see where we're headed with this midweek tonight. But before we go there, I wanted to talk about a contagious faith. You know, faith is crucial to our Christian lives. Without it, you and I are lost, and God cannot do his work. In fact, he will not do his work. And so, I was hoping tonight that we could talk about how God is unchanging and wants to bless our faith. And I really have one thought to share with you, and that is this. Faith begins with seeing God. Faith begins with seeing God. Have a look here in 2 Kings chapter 6. We're just going to spend a couple of minutes talking about faith here. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 8. Elisha traps blinded Arameans. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and after conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God time and time again. Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go, find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." And the report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. And Elisha told him, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. You know, the Bible is full of accounts where God revealed himself in different ways to humankind. This just happens to be an incredibly miraculous one. And if you have a look at a bit of context and the history here, Aram or the Arameans were at war with Israel. But Israel were one up on them. They had the prophet Elisha, who was in many ways a modern-day soothsayer, who was able to tell the king of Israel exactly what the king of Aram was planning to do with his forces. I mean, imagine having a guy like that as a confidant. Super clever, and he's able to tell him the very things that he was uttering in his bedroom. And so this obviously ticked the king of Aram off. And he was like, "Who on earth is colluding with the Israelites here?" And they say, "No, it's a prophet." And so he sends an armed force. The Bible doesn't give us how many chariots and horses he sends, but he gathers this force and sends them to the city and surrounds the city. So Elisha wakes up in the morning, and what is the servant's response? "Oh my Lord." He's freaking out. What does he look? He stands outside the city, and there's a large host of chariots and horses. "This is the end of us." But what do we notice about Elisha's heart and his response? He says, "You know, don't worry, because those who are with us are more than those who are against us." Can you imagine what the servant must have thought at that point in time? Because he can't see what Elisha's seeing. "What on earth are you talking about, Elisha? It's the two of us and hundreds, if not thousands, of charioteers and horsemen and foot soldiers, and they're here for you and me. We're going to die. What are you talking about? There's more than us." And what does he say? Elisha, he prays, "God, open his eyes that he may see." Can you imagine the scene? I've read this passage time and time again and try to understand, wow, what an amazing passage. His eyes are opened and the hills are covered with the horsemen of the angelic hosts of God. Imagine it. Chariots of fire surrounding the hillside. Isn't that amazing? You see, Elisha, through the eyes of faith, was able to see what his servant couldn't see. You know, what happens? Again, Elisha prays, "Strike the army with blindness." All of these charioteers and horsemen are struck with blindness. He then, one man, leads them out into a city, prays the same prayer for them to open their eyes, and boom, they're in a different city. Don't ask me how he did that. I mean, were these guys blind? But then how did they manage to follow him? I mean, it's just an impossible situation, isn't it? It defies human wisdom and human logic. You and I can't say A plus B equals C in this situation, can we? And account after account in the Bible is exactly like that. It just doesn't match up. It does not make sense. Yet sometimes you and I can most often be like the servant. When we face challenges in our lives, oh my Lord. Man, I just can't work out stuff with my spouse. She ticks me off, or he ticks me off. Man, my kids are giving me such problems or challenges. Work is so pressurized and stressful. I don't know if we've got money at the end of the month. And what are we saying? Oh my Lord. And it takes us opening our eyes of faith to see God working around us. You know, I'll never forget where I had my biggest oh my Lord moment last year. When the guys in Joburg said to us, how would you guys feel about moving to Cape Town? This is mid-October last year. Best yet, you've only got space for 12 boxes, and you've got to uproot your family and find new schools. I had my oh my Lord moment then. What on earth? You want me to move cities? It's October, man. We've got 2 months left. I'm sure the Jocko's, he's got the biggest grin in the hall tonight. Because they felt the same. But you know, we decided, you know, God, you lead us. Open our eyes to your working here, and within 2.5 months, boom, January 1st, we're on the ground here in Cape Town. I didn't know it was possible. I didn't know that you could physically pack up your belongings into 12 boxes, get on a train, travel 27 hours, and be in a different city with your girls in different schools in that short space of time. God had to open up my eyes of faith. See, faith begins with seeing God. What was Elisha's response? Open his eyes. In many respects, when you and I lack faith, the first thing we need to do in our lives is pray to God for him to open our eyes. Open our eyes to his glory. You know what I find so encouraging about this passage? It's twice Elisha prayed. He prayed, open the eyes of my servant. Strike these Aramean's eyes with blindness. Elisha relied on prayer. And the truth is this, church. A praying Christian is a faith-filled Christian. And the same is true. A faith-filled Christian is a praying Christian. You know, it's been so encouraging over the last couple of weeks seeing us involved in a prayer chain. You know, and we've getting all these SMSs coming on in, and when who wants to pay? You know, by the close of April, we would have prayed on close on 788 hours as a church. That deserves a round of applause. It really does. And I think what I've been so encouraged by is just my wife's faith in this. I remember when, you know, we tried this out with our singles Bible talk and you know, kind of smaller group, and the guys were like, man, let's do an all-night prayer chain every second week through the Friday until Saturday morning. I was like, oh my goodness, okay, let's do this thing, you know. Lacking sleep, these guys haven't had kids, so I don't know what they're talking about. When you lack sleep, you tend to do strange things, but hey, let's do it. And so our Bible talk started praying. It's amazing what God started to do. The number of visitors who started coming out, how quickly family was starting to be built, the unity of and the friendships within our group. It's amazing what God does when you just start praying. When you start opening your eyes of faith. And that is our prayer, is that through the month of April, we've dedicated as a church to prayer. So I want to encourage you, there's still a couple of days left. If you haven't had the opportunity to link into the prayer chain that a good number of us have been on, get praying. Because when we pray for God to open our eyes, that's where our faith begins. It begins with seeing God. Have a look in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 54. Let's pick it up from verse 53 of Matthew chapter 13. When Jesus had finished his parables, he moved on from there, And coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these signs? And what? Look what happens in verse 57. They took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of what? Their lack of faith. Now, interesting scenario here. Jesus goes off, all right? He's baptized in the Jordan, taken up into the desert 40 days, begins his ministry in Galilee, heads back to his hometown. He's already performing miracles and doing incredible things, and he arrives. And what happens? His relatives say, man, aren't you the carpenter's son? Isn't he the son of Mary and Joseph? And man, we know this guy. Bible says they took offense at him for him calling himself the Messiah. I don't know about you, but at times you can feel like a prophet without honor in your own family. Many of us who've made the decision to live the committed life of a disciple can at times bring challenges within our own blood family. Jesus himself said, I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to turn a father against his daughter, etc., etc. You know the scripture. And as much as we need to love each other, his word, when lived out practically, is challenging. And so this is exactly what Jesus experiences in his own hometown. So you know what? If you're facing challenges right now with your relatives, take to heart. Jesus faced the same thing. But you know what is so compelling about this? Is that he could not do miracles in his own hometown. Why? Because of their lack of faith. What was their problem? They were looking at Jesus from a humanistic point of view. They were just seeing Jesus as the carpenter's son who they'd grown up with. Lo and behold, they're standing before him with flesh and blood, God incarnate. That's who he was, the Messiah. But they could not see him through their lack of faith. Their eyes had not been opened and did not believe in him. You know, when we apply human wisdom to our Christianity, it robs our faith. When we apply the standards of the world with regards to how we need to live out our Christianity, it robs our faith. When we choose to rather accept pop culture, psychology, and five easy steps to getting the way to evangelize, or, you know, three easy steps to figure out how to reach out to the poor, and we start humanizing our Christianity, you know what it does? It robs us of our faith. Now, I'm not saying don't get practical. It's important for us to get practical and figure out how to, you know, live out our faith. But when we become too humanistic, and when we depend so much more on our wisdom versus God's wisdom, that's when we fall into problems. You know, the result of humanism in this passage was that Jesus couldn't do miracles there. And you know what's incredible as you read the New Testament account? Is that throughout Jesus' ministry, he often worked according to people's faith. You know, think about the two blind men. What do? They cry out to him on the road outside Jericho, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus says, well, what do you want me to do? No, give us back our sight. What is his response after that? Your faith has healed you. Think about the woman subject to bleeding for 12 years. She walks up to Jesus in a crowd, touches his cloak. I don't know how this works out. She steals power from Jesus and heals herself. I don't get that, you know. But I think these are often passages in Scripture to help us recognize just how important it is for us to take the step of faith. And so what does he do? Woman, your faith has healed you. And you see, time and time again throughout Jesus' ministry, these incredible acts of faith. Most often the centurion or whomever it was, he was astonished and amazed at only two things throughout his lifetime on earth. People's lack of faith and people's faith. You know, without faith, Jesus cannot work in our lives. He cannot work in our jobs, in our relationships, in our parenting, and even within the church. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, Hebrews 11 verse 6, you can just have a look at it yourself. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's amazing how faith and earnestly seeking him are tied hand in hand. Our dependency on God is directly related to how much we seek God. You know, the basic Bible English translation says, and without faith it is not possible to be well-pleasing to him, for it is necessary for anyone who comes to God to have the belief that God is, comma, and that he is a rewarder of all those who make a serious search for him. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. NIV says, must believe that he exists and to have the belief that God is. One of our number one problems as Christians, the longer we're around, is that we don't consistently and continuously recognize who God is. We often downsize him into our little box, whether it be based on our upbringing or religious experiences, and our little God becomes who we make him out to be in our minds. And so I've found, as the years have gone by as a disciple, my responsibility in my walk with God is to continuously open my eyes to his glory and to just how big he is. You know, for me, I just need to look around at creation and see what he has made, and my faith is boosted. Whether it be a sunset, whether it be the ocean, whether it be the mountain. You know, I look at what God has made, and I look in scriptures where the Bible says his divine qualities and eternal power are clearly seen through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. I'm inspired. And I know that many of us, when we look around at creation, we can't help but be inspired in our faith. I look at how comprehensive and accurate the Bible is, and my faith is boosted. I continue to read this thing 14 years in as a disciple, and I'm amazed. What God does throughout history is just incredible. I look at how God used imperfect men and women to change the world. That's what he did. He takes impossible men and women, failures, and changes the world to shame the wise of the world. That is God, because of who he is. You know, I found this joke about faith. And, you know, I had to read it to you guys. You know, Johnny was asked by his mother what he had learned in Sunday school. He says, well, Mom, our teacher told us how God sent Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. When he got to the Red Sea, he had his engineers build a pontoon bridge and all the people walked across safely. Then he used his walkie-talkie to radio headquarters for reinforcements. And they sent bombers to blow up the bridge and save the Israelites. Now, Johnny, is that really what your teacher taught you? His mother asked. Well, no, Mom, but if I told you the way the teacher did, you'd never believe me. You know, so often we can reason God's working as acts of human working. We downsize God's working in our lives to something that is just trivial. Faith is believe, see, and do. Faith is believe, see, and do. As disciples, faith that pleases God is an outrageous belief. Outrageous belief. It's seeing what others do not see. and doing what others are afraid to do. You know, when it comes to outrageous belief, people even laugh at you. That's when you know you're living on the edge with your faith. Really, bro? You really believe that? That's outrageous faith. You know, I'll never forget, I already mentioned the prayer chain, and I'm confessing here in front of the whole church. When my wife said, we want to get the whole Cape Town church into a prayer chain so that we're praying 24 hours a day for the next month, 788 hours, I said, really? Is that possible? Not just for the Cape Town church, but for any group to do that. And my faith has been increased, and I've been proven wrong just by your guys' response to wanting to pray. It's been so encouraging. You know, at the beginning of the year, I said to you guys, what if we all just decided to be disciples for 1 year and in some way reach out to one other person and study the Bible with them? What could God do? Imagine that. And it was interesting to see the response. Some people were like, yeah, amen, bro, we believe you. That's totally possible. Others are like, man, that's just crazy. And it's amazing how God allows these situations to come into our lives to test where our faith is at. Do you know what I believe? I totally believe that if God wanted to, he could double the size of the Cape Town church in 6 months. Amen. Why? Because he's God. Amen. And it does not depend on us. I totally believe it. Whether or not he'll allow us to do that, that's up to him and our faith. But what I am asking us to do is to believe. Just to have the faith. What if? ... You fill in the blanks. What if? And instead of boxing God in, believing in who he truly is. Because he can honestly do anything. You know, maybe for you that's a bit daunting. Finding someone else to study the Bible with and share your faith is just a challenge. You know, and I won't deny the fact there are some of us who are more gifted in that area. We have better people skills. We can connect and relate to people in a way that some of us can't. Some of us are a little awkward when it comes to relationships, and that's okay. God has wired us differently. But you know what? You can contribute to another person's salvation. Maybe you do an awesome braai. Johanna's nodding his head and smiling. Something that I've thoroughly enjoyed is being educated by you Cape Townians as to how you braai. And I must say, I feel humbled. Because in Joburg, we don't braai as half as well as you guys do. I had to confess that, you know. The way you build your castles of wood and, you know, you got your... You know, the first time I saw that, I was like, what on earth is going on here, man? Why don't you stick the coals in the fire? Okay, if braaiing's not a big deal for you, I'm sorry, but braaiing is a big deal for me. I love braaiing. And I'm walking around seeing these guys, why are you burning wood? And, you know, it's been an educational process. Maybe you're a good braaier. Maybe you're a good coffee drinker. Those things count. It's just taking the step to initiate with someone and stepping out on faith and saying, you know what, man, I'm a little timid in sharing my faith when it comes to the Bible, but I'm still going to reach out to people. And I'm going to find someone who I know is good at studying the Bible with someone, and together we can partner and help someone become a Christian. But that's the heart and spirit, because God can work through any situation. You know, it's been so encouraging just to watch God move from the beginning of the year. And feel like we're on an adventure here and a part of a journey. You know, it's been exciting to see just the faith of our teen and campus and singles ministry and just to see how God is adding to our number. I mean, we've had 2 or 3 baptisms already, and it's just because the guys have started to believe in many respects again. Even the marrieds are coming online. You know, old Nelson getting baptized on Sunday, and it's just God is at work. My question to you is this: have you opened your eyes to see it? Do you have the faith to believe that God is at work? Or is it same old for you? And so my encouragement to you tonight is this. Your and mine's faith starts and ends with God. And I want to encourage you to open your eyes to see how big God is. One final question. How big is your God? How big is he? With those final thoughts, we've got about 20 minutes here before we close out. What I want us to do, seeing as the month of April was themed around prayer, is for us to gather up and pray. And also use it as an opportunity to confess a lack of faith that you've been experiencing. Because Jesus and God often dealt with faith in many different ways. He was compassionate. I mean, Jesus showed himself to Thomas and showed him the holes in his hands. But Jesus also rebuked a lack of faith. And so what I'd like us to do is, we've got a good 20 minutes here, circle up with the person next to you or someone that you feel closer to and have a time of sharing. Man, this is where I've been at in terms of my faith. This is the situations I'm facing in my life right now, where I'm battling to have faith and pray. Okay? That's what we're going to do for the next 20 minutes. I want to encourage you not to fellowship. Amen. I know we're a church that loves fellowship. This is a time for us to circle up, talk about where we're at in our faith, and to pray. Amen. That's our message for tonight. Huh?